Welcome to the Daily Bible Podcast, the show intended to help you get more out of your everyday time in the Word. This is a ministry of Compass Bible Church in North Texas, and if you'd like to join along with our daily Bible reading program, you can do so by going to compassntx.org and clicking on the Daily Bible Reading tab. Thanks for joining in for today's episode of the Daily Bible Podcast. Here it is. It's Maundy Thursday.
Man, today. It's Maundy Thursday. I can't wait to celebrate. What are we doing today?
Well, we're not going to do what the Catholic Church does because I'm not washing feet.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and you may be wondering, what's the connection? That's what the Monday is. The
Monday means feet?
It's the foot washing service. So Maundy Thursday represents the upper room and the Last Supper and the institution of the Lord's Supper. And
What does Maundy mean?
I don't know if it's Latin. It's probably Latin because it emerges from the Roman Catholic Church, and they love them some Latin over there.
Maundy. Okay.
Yeah. So, foot washing service. Sometimes there's a big mass that takes place in the Catholic Church. We're not doing any of that. And you may say, well, why don't we do any of that? Well, because we believe in the memorial observance of things. We don't believe in the ordinance observance of things. And so as the church, as the Protestant church, as the evangelical Protestant church, I should even clarify even more so, we believe that there's two primary ordinances of the church, and that is baptism and the Lord's Supper, communion. And we observe communion once a month. In fact, I was talking to somebody recently about that. They said, talk to me about your thoughts behind how often you observe communion. And the Bible, so we've talked about this before, but the Bible's silent on how frequent we need to observe the Lord's Supper. It just says, anytime you do this in remembrance of me. And we think once a month is helpful because it does prevent it from becoming white noise if it's done every single week. One of the dangers of that is, hey, it can become rote. It can become going through the motions. It can become that white noise thing that we always do. Doesn't always, but it can. So we do it once a month for that purpose, to try to make it significant as much as we possibly can. And then the second ordinance being baptism, which obviously is the outward expression of the inward reality. And so we practice these at the church. You go into the Catholic Church, there are far more ordinances that are practiced there that they deem means of grace. And in fact, they would say that God's grace is delivered in these different ordinances that you participate in some degrees, that you can't really be saved if you're not partaking of these ordinances that they perform within the church.
Maundy comes from the Latin word, you're right,
boom,
mandatum.
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 Mandate. It's a mandate.
Mandate, right, which means command or mandate.
Yep.
Derived from the old French word, mandé, which comes from mandatum as well. The word mandé refers to Jesus' words, I give you a new commandment, after washing his disciples' feet during the Last Supper. The new commandment is to love one another as I have loved you, and that's visualized by the washing of feet.
Yes.
So tell me why you're not obeying Jesus' command to wash my feet. Let's just get down to that business.
Yeah. Because that new commandment that I love you just as that a new commandment I give to you, love one another as I've loved you, we believe had more to do with what was about to happen at the cross than it did what happened there in the upper room.
You know what? I'm just taking off my shoes right now.
That the upper room washing of the bowl.
We've got some done.
Was the preliminary example of what Jesus was going to do on the cross. And so the humiliation, which we're even going to talk about, the humiliation of the cross on Friday night, that's kind of be our focus. We're going to look at what Paul says in Romans 1:16 when he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And yet when we look at the core truth of the gospel, the crucifixion, it was one of the most shameful ways that anyone could ever die. And so how can Paul say, I'm not ashamed? So even there in the upper room, as Jesus humbles himself and takes on that humiliating posture of a servant and washes the feet, he was really anticipating the cross. And that is what we believe the greatest commandment is, or the new commandment that he gives is really about. It's about that sacrificial love for one another that's modeled in the cross. And so that's why. And it's also not observed that we know of or commanded to be observed in any of the epistolary literature. It's not commanded to the church beyond the upper room there. And that's not specifically the church as Jesus is addressing them.
Yeah, it's probably not a one-to-one, but the washing of the feet was a lowly servant's job. It was a menial, somewhat degrading task.
Yep.
So when Jesus does it, it's like, man, I, as the greatest among you, the highest of high celebrities, I'm willing to do the lowest of lowly jobs. And even though, again, not a one-to-one, but changing diapers, for instance, that, you know, doing it in Kidsmen, that's kind of a similar idea. It's showing love by taking on the menial service. And maybe stacking chairs is part of that, and, you know, unloading or unloading trailers. Just, I know that's kind of our church life right now, but those are the kind of things I think that fit with the spirit of what Jesus is commanding. Love people tangibly. Love people by taking on a lowly servant-like position, and don't be upset when you're treated like a servant.
Right.
Because you are. That's your role.
Right.
God has called you to do that. So if you, has anyone ever washed your feet?
Nope.
Done that before? No?
Nope.
No one's done that for you?
I'm okay with that. So church, you don't need to line up. Our sending pastor said, you want to bless me, wash my car. I'm with him on that. Like, you can wash my car. My feet are good.
But if someone wanted to symbolically do it, just to...
No.
What if they gave you a pedicure?
No.
And then they washed your feet?
No. No.
They paid to take you with them to get a pedicure? No? No?
Nope. Right. Still no.
Okay.
Still no.
Manny and Petty. What about that?
No. Still no.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. So if Pastor Rod wants that, you can you can go and do that for Pastor Rod.
What if they took you to barbecue first?
Nope. Still no. Still no. Still no.
What do you have against that?
It's just curiosity. It's not a cultural norm, and I just find it a weird thing. So...
Yeah, I've known some people that have done that before.
I know people that have done it at their wedding before, and that's great. Good. I'm glad you guys did that. I didn't. I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, there are churches that I think the Brethren churches practice it as one of their ordinances, even.
Yeah, yeah. I know it still goes on, and there are people it might have happened in my youth ministry.
Yeah, and we had COVID, so I'm not saying it's directly related. I just don't know that they've proven that it's not connected somehow.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It gives you the ick.
It's
all right.
I'm good.
All right. Well, duly noted, everybody who's listening, never touch his feet.
I don't know.
What if it was Amanda? And Amanda's like, Pastor PJ, for your birthday.
She does call me Pastor PJ all the time, by the way.
Dr. Burner, for your birthday.
That's actually what it is. Pastor, Dr., Reverend.
Or she's following the footsteps of Sarah. Lord Burner, may I wash your feet after a long, hard day.
No. No, we don't have that kind of a marriage, man.
Okay.
We have a good understanding of how we express our affection together, and it's not that.
Okay. All right. Let's get to this, because I feel like people are just dying now to find out what's happening.
They're dying to stop talking about feet is what they're dying to do.
I'm entertained. I dare say they're probably enjoying this
I'm
as
sure
well.
They are, too. And I guarantee we will get an email about this from someone that's going to talk about how we should do it or whatever.
Right.
Explain the origins of the left toe or whatever they're going to do.
You know what people have said before? The origins of the left toe. People have said before that our podcast gives serious sibling vibes, something like that.
For sure. Yeah. Well, I've always felt like that with us, even back when we were in California. You and I had this like love-hate bickering relationship with each other.
I don't know about the hate part.
Maybe, well, not hatred
speaking
so
on your
much.
Behalf,
like,
on my behalf, I'm not so sure that was ever my thing.
Well, man, you haven't seen my tear-stained pillow at home. I go home and I cry.
Tears on my pillow, pain in my heart.
Anyways, Joshua 19, 20, and 21. Hey, Joshua 19, inheritance. That's the word. That's the key word.
You hired me because of my color. Remember that yesterday?
Yesterday, I did.
You hired me because of my color. You bring color to our staff.
No, I didn't say to our staff. I did not say to our staff. There's color commentary that takes place. Yeah, and that's what you bring.
Okay.
Yeah. Inheritance. Inheritance for Simeon and Zebulun and Issachar and Asher and Naphtali and Dan and Joshua there in Joshua chapter 19. So Joshua chapter 19 is giving you a lot of towns and a lot of cities and a lot of geographical boundaries and everything. Back in college, I had to do a project where I had to go through with a map of Israel, and I had to trace all of the...
That's a good call.
...the inheritances in here. And if you want to do that, you can. You can get an atlas. There's Bible atlases that are out there on Amazon. You can pick one up, and you can go through, and they will have all these towns. And that's why doing this on a Bible atlas rather than just a regular map is helpful, because they're going to have these biblical towns on there. Some of these biblical towns are not on modern maps, or their names have changed, or whatever it may be. So... get a Bible atlas and sit down and trace these out for yourselves. Get some different colored Sharpies. And some of you are your like elementary school project nerd self is just getting super excited at the thought of this. And so do it. And it's helpful. You'll be able to have your own visual map of what the tribes looked like, or what they were supposed to look like, at least.
Or you can cheat and just use your study Bible. Take a look at that.
Or you can do that too. It's less help. See, back in my day, back in the day, a long time ago, we didn't have...
I do sticks.
Yeah. Yeah, but... No, so... But all these different towns, all these different cities, it may be helpful just to grab your atlas and look up where they are just to put eyes on the geography of it and see those things.
I think it's indispensable. If you're going to read Joshua 19, 20, and 21, you would do yourself a huge favor in having just a map next to you as you read. And that's what I did. I had the guy read it to me on my Bible app, and then I read it with my eyes on the page, all the while referencing on my right-hand side here the map that that kind of corresponded to this, because it really does help. The cities and towns, they probably mean nothing to you. And for some of us, even who like to dig into the details, some of these towns, just they have no meaning to us.
Right.
We don't know who they are.
Right. You don't hear about them after this at all.
Exactly.
The rest of the Bible.
Exactly. Yeah. There are references to say this is your boundary, but beyond that, they don't appear in the Bible anymore. So some of this is just like, okay, helpful to know, historical. Mm-hmm. By the way, speaking of historical, that this is one of those things. This is why we trust the Bible to be an historical account, because it gives us cities and towns and barriers. This is not someone saying, you know, mythology. This is clearly meant to be taken at face value. So if you're looking at your map, use that. See who's got the bigger land masses. You got Judah. Remember, Simeon's like the hole in the donut. They're the hole in Judah's donut. And they only stay that way for a season. Eventually, they get absorbed. And they become part of Judah's territory. Notice Dan right now. Dan is currently on the coast. That's true only for now.
Yep.
They're not going to stay there. They're going to move up north eventually, because they're not going to obey God's command. They're going to forfeit their blessings down south. They're going to have some nice territory up north as well, but they're not going to be where they should be.
Yeah. Dan is, today when you go to Israel and you go up to see where Dan was, it's some of the most beautiful areas. In fact, the mouth of the Jordan River is in Dan. And so it's a really cool place to go up and see. And I hope someday to be able to take our church.
Do you have any pictures from your time in Israel?
I do.
Israel?
I do. I have a lot.
Put a couple on this podcast, man. They'd like to see that.
Yeah.
Put them in the show notes.
On the video.
On the show notes.
No.
I know what I'm talking about.
I've been thinking about bringing some out, even in the Gospel of John series that we've been going through, just for the visual.
Totes.
Yeah.
Totes.
Don't say that. No, but another thing to bear in mind with this too is, again, these tribes get their names from the offspring of Jacob, and Jacob descended from Abraham, and Abraham is the one that God made the promise to, that through you will all the nations of the earth be blessed, and I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as the sand on the seashore. So Abrahamic covenant, just to keep coming back to that and point that out, is still in operation as we're seeing this inheritance. That's the Abrahamic covenant is part of this right now. They're coming into the land that God promised to give to Abraham. They're not doing it well, and that's part of the reason why we believe that this was a partial fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, but the total fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant is yet future for Israel. They will inherit the land in a permanent sense, yet in the future.
One other final note here in chapter 19, notice that the inheritance for Joshua, just to be clear here, Joshua is not one of the tribes. So you're not seeing a tribal allotment. You're seeing an allotment just for Joshua, and his allotment is in the territory of Ephraim. So heads up on that. As you read Joshua, don't get confused. Yeah, I know everyone's they're all showing up in the same space, and it might be difficult to discern that Joshua is not one of the tribes. He's not getting his own territory in the same way that they are. He has a space within Ephraim's tribe.
Right, right. All right, Joshua chapter 20 then. This is these are the cities of refuge that we've already talked about before, but here they are officially doled out and given. And remember, the cities of refuge were going to be places where somebody convicted of or guilty of manslaughter could flee to these cities, and the kinsman, the person who was closest to the person killed, could not take vengeance upon them while they were in the city of refuge. They were to stay there until the death of the high priest. And then once the reigning high priest died, they were free to return to their land, and vengeance still at that point could not be taken upon them. But if they ventured outside the walls of these cities before the high priest died, well, then they were fair game. And so these cities of refuge are given here in Joshua chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. You've got six of them. In the tribal allotments that they come from, one from Naphtali, that's Kadesh, one from Ephraim, that's Shechem, then one from Judah, which is Kiriath Arba, and then one from Reuben, which is Bezer, one from Gad, which is Ramoth, and one from Manasseh, which is Golan. And so these are the cities of refuge that are spread throughout the territory of Israel, so that one would be nearby wherever somebody happened to need one, if they should happen to need one.
So they're spread out roughly evenly throughout the territory, three on the east, three on the west, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So the idea here is that they're all over the place, cities of refuge, places that people could run for shelter and for safety. Jesus is our new refuge. Mm-hmm. We no longer have to run to a place. Jesus is our place. He is our shelter. He is our refuge. Yeah. And praise God for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And he holds his high priesthood permanently.
Permanently. So there's no need for us to even... We can never leave the city of refuge. We're there permanently.
And that's a good thing.
That's a great thing. Our sins are forgiven.
Yep. Yeah, Joshua 21, then the majority of this chapter is devoted to the allotment to Levi. Remember, the Levites didn't get a tribal allotment because they were the priests and God was their inheritance, but they did have cities that would be given to them, and these cities would be given to them from among the other territories. And so there's 48 total Levitical cities. Of those 48 include those cities of refuge that we just mentioned, the six from chapter 20. Those are Levitical cities as well. But the Levites were given the city, and they were also given the pasture land around the city so that they could farm, that they could raise animals, that they could provide food for their families and everything. And so that's within the bounds of the rest of the tribal allotments here in Joshua chapter 21.
So the tribe of Levi was like salt sprinkled all over the territory of Israel. And I think one of the things that helps me understand this is that God intended for the spiritual vitality of all Israel to permeate every aspect of it. No matter what tribe you came from, no matter where you were, north or south, east or west, God intended that always for all the people, they were to be spiritually alert and in a vital relationship with God. That's what's dangerous about this, because now they were a people centrally located. They were all together, but now they're on the precipice of a new chapter of their existence where they're spread out by tribes, which is going to be problematic later, all over this massive, I mean, not massive, but this larger landmass. They're now separated. This is precarious for them because their unity used to be, well, we all live together. Within their tribes, of course, but they're all together. Now they're going to be separated by distance and by time and space, and that's going to be a problem for them. The Levites were meant to help keep them together. The Levites were meant to be the glue. The Levites were meant to help them remain steadfast and loyal to Yahweh. Sadly, that doesn't happen.
No, but speaking of salt and being sprinkled throughout the... So we have 10 kids between us. Oof. Mark's on his way to 5 eventually, maybe 7, 8?
I think he's going for 12.
12, okay.
He
so
wants one like the...
That's 22 kids that we could have on staff. We could farm them out throughout everybody.
Good, man.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, room and board included there. Yeah, that maybe not a bad idea. All college right. Education.
Yeah, yeah. Where are we sending them?
I just don't know. I don't know. Okay. We'll just throw them out. All right. We'll have a draft.
Compass AV draft. That's a good call.
Hey, Joshua 21:43-45. Don't want to leave off before we hit this. This is the Lord saying, mission accomplished, at least from his perspective. Of what he promised to do, mission accomplished. Not from the Israelites. We've talked about that. They've failed in so many ways. They did not drive everybody out. They did not do the things that God commanded them to do. But what God told them he would do, the Lord did. The Lord gave to Israel, verse 43, all the land he swore to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it, and they settled there. And then verse 44, the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. And listen, y'all, we were talking about it earlier with regards to the claiming the promises of God. This is why we can still do that today, because he's the same God. The promises that he's made to you, church, you can guarantee that the same thing is going to be said of him in the end as was said of him here, that not one word of all that he has promised will fail, but all will come to pass. And so as we await the return of Christ for the bride, that will happen. As we await the new heavens and the new earth, that will happen. As you wait for him to lead you out of the valley that you're in, he will lead you out of the valley that you're in. Sometimes the valley of the shadow of death, we're freed from that through death, but if not, he will bring you out at some point, and he will bring you through that because he is faithful and trustworthy through it all.
Amen to that. Do these verses, I mean, it seems like it's saying like, hey, we're done. Covenant fulfilled. Why do we, I mean, obviously the chapter doesn't end here. There's more to say. You got the book of Judges, which shows some of the continued conquest of these tribes, failed though they may be. Looking at this from a strictly literal perspective, it seems like, oh man, if I were just to read this plainly, it seems like, oh, the covenant's done.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we see it that way?
Yeah, but what God is communicating here is not so much that as much as, okay, Israel's, they're in the land. There's no, they don't have to cross the Jordan anymore. They're not waiting to, they're not wandering in the wilderness anymore. They're now here and they're settling in the land. And so in that sense, God has fulfilled that portion of the promise. He's brought them into the land, but the full covenant is not done yet. When you consider going and thinking through, as I referenced earlier, through you will all the nations of the earth be blessed. Well, Israel's not doing that at this point. That's for sure. They're not blessing nations. And so there's still a lot of work to be done. And so this is, again, that partial fulfillment, yes, but not the complete fulfillment of what God had promised to his people.
I think that's a really helpful stopping point for us to say, look, when I read stuff in the Bible, sometimes the evident, without looking at this face value, here's what it says, isn't the best reading.
Yeah.
Sometimes reading the Bible well requires reading it carefully and skillfully with a soft touch. It's an art and a science. And let this passage right here show you that reading the Bible sometimes is not just, oh, what does the word say? Then that's exactly what it means. No, it's understanding. How did Israel receive this? Clearly, the work was not done for them.
Yeah.
Clearly, there is still land for them to take. But here, what you see, the intention, the point is to affirm, like, God is faithful. He has been faithful. He's given you what he's promised. There's still work to be done. But that's not Joshua's point there. That's not God's point. He's not trying to say, well, let me qualify this up and down, left and right.
Right.
He's saying, God's been faithful. Look at what God has done. Don't distrust him. Continue to follow him. I think that's the point, right?
For sure. Yep. I would agree. Well, hey, keep reading your Bibles and join us tomorrow for Good Friday's edition of the Daily Bible Podcast.
See you guys then.
Bye. Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Daily Bible Podcast. We hope and pray this has been a blessing to you and your time in the Word. If it has, if you would subscribe to this podcast, leave a like, leave a comment, and share it with some friends and family, that would be awesome. If you need more information about Compass Bible Church here in North Texas, you can go to compassntx.org. Again, that's compassntx.org. And we'll be back with you tomorrow for another episode of the Daily Bible Podcast.